This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of February 17th, 2005.
High priest, police!
Bad cop.
No donut.
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, 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 cop.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
Because I'm the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Stay tuned after this week's headlines for a special report from WBAI about a recent police killing in Newark, New Jersey. But first, let's take a look at what the police did to us this week.
It's been going on for quite a long time. This did not happen on our watch. Unfortunately, we're left with the cleanup.
I just can't believe all the allegations.
Last week, we told you about how the police department in the town of Waterford, New Jersey, had lost one quarter of its officers due to an ongoing investigation into misconduct involving sex and drugs. This week, the town finds itself without over one third of its force after two more officers were arrested. Sergeant James Source and Officer Ron Lombardo were served with papers this week accusing them of giving false and misleading statements to investigators. Both have been suspended without pay and with intent to dismiss. They're accused of lying to investigators who've been investigating a fellow police officer who is accused of having sex while on duty. In November, Officer Daniel Chiumento was charged with misconduct and neglect of duty for carrying on a 13-month-long affair, which consisted primarily of driving a woman to a state forest and having sex with her in his patrol car while he was on the job. Source and Lombardo are accused of lying to investigators about their knowledge of Chiumento's misconduct. Another officer, Joseph Chiarulli, was suspended on December 9th for leaking information about drug investigations. Another officer, Larry Ruoco, resigned after being questioned on the same day. Officer Albert Hrosik resigned in October after being questioned in the investigation. Officer Michael Armour was suspended in November for having sex while on duty. And last week, as we told you, Officer Richard Bach was also fired for having sex while on the job. More than half of all police officers in Waterford make over $90,000 per year. Town councillors have, in light of the ongoing scandal involving their police department, proposed getting rid of the department completely and using the county sheriff's department instead. The FBI is conducting an investigation of the police department in Plum, Pennsylvania. No details are available about the investigation other than that the actions of several unidentified current and former officers are being looked at. The department has been the focus of a lot of attention because of recent incidents of misconduct. After the former police chief Terry Focaretta was fired in 2003, it was discovered that two handguns and several pounds of marijuana were missing from the police evidence room. One officer has been charged in connection with the disappearance of one of the handguns. Sergeant Andrew McNellis will be on trial in federal court beginning on February 28th. This week, a federal judge accused the police department in Oakland, California, of failing to implement reforms promised in a settlement relating to the Riders scandal. The reforms were won in a settlement involving 119 people who had been mistreated by the department's officers. The 119 claimed they were beaten, had evidence including drugs planted on them, and that false reports were filed by officers about the incidents. The city settled the lawsuit for over $10 million. Under the February 2003 agreement, the department agreed to 50 reforms, which were supposed to be in effect by the present time. So far, only 21 of the 50 have been put into practice.
Well, I think it's a sad day for law enforcement, but on the other hand, what it illustrates is that no matter who you are, what your position is, and what your station in life, if you engage in this type of criminal activity, you're going to be pursued and prosecuted.
This week, a former police officer from Waterloo, Iowa, was given a life sentence for federal drug charges. Officer Eddie Denton was fired from the Waterloo Police Department in 1990 over charges of corruption. In 2003, he was found guilty of drug trafficking. His sentencing was delayed until this week. A third police officer has been fired in relation to a federal drug and corruption investigation of the Michigan City, Indiana Police Department. Sergeant Charles Dickey was dismissed because he defrauded the city's housing authority in the early 90s. Another officer, Mark Crickhorn, was sentenced to probation in connection to the same fraud last year. Another Michigan City officer, Donnie Webb, is currently serving 9 years on drug charges connected to the same investigation. Dickey's lawyer says that he will appeal the decision to fire the officer. For the second time this month, a judge has thrown out charges against a man after finding that he was beaten by police officers in Alberta. The judge found that the man had been charged with 2 counts of assaulting police based on flimsy evidence, and also found that the man had been beaten by officers of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police after he was under arrest and in handcuffs. He was assaulted again by RCMP officers while he was still in handcuffs and in a holding cell. Required reports regarding use of force were not filed by any of the 4 officers involved in the arrest and beating. Earlier this month, a provincial court judge dismissed charges against a boy who was repeatedly tasered by officers during an arrest 3 years ago. The police department in Chattanooga, Tennessee, has fired a police officer who is one of at least 2 officers being investigated for police brutality. Officer Shane Webb has been dismissed over an incident of brutality at a store which was videotaped by the store's security cameras. Another officer, Ray Brantis, is still under investigation. The family of a teenager killed by police in Pueblo, Colorado, is complaining that police are not releasing reports pertaining to the killing. The 17-year-old boy was killed by Sergeant Randy Wills on December 23rd. The family has many questions relating to the death of the boy, many based on contradictory statements made by witnesses to the shooting. This week, the chief of police in Edmonton, Alberta, was fired after it was revealed that his department organized a sting operation which targeted a journalist who was critical of the police and also targeted a member of the local police commission. Chief Fred Rayner was dismissed last week after it was revealed that he lied about whether the 2 were specifically targeted by the force. 7 police officers were used in the stakeout, which was ostensibly to catch drunk drivers, but which actually spent 3 hours specifically targeting the journalist and the commissioner. A former police officer who warned of ties between the Edmonton Police Service and organized crime in 1998 said a thorough investigation of the department is necessary in order to weed out the Edmonton police officers who are corrupt. He says that otherwise, incidents like the recent firing of the chief and the ensuing scandal will continue to plague the force. The former officer is calling for a public inquiry into the Edmonton Police Service. Police in Mission Viejo, California, have been accused of covering up the events leading to the death of a local Arab man who was shot by an off-duty Homeland Security officer last week. Media reports based on information from the Orange County Sheriff's Department say that the victim, who was originally misidentified, was shot when the off-duty officer went to investigate a disturbance outside of his home. All of the witnesses to the events, none of whom were questioned by investigators, say that the man who was shot was attempting to defend one of his friends who was being pistol-whipped by the officer, who had attacked them for no apparent reason. They also say that after the shooting, the gunman walked back into his apartment as though nothing had happened. The Orange County Sheriff's Department is continuing to investigate, but so far, no arrests have been made. The family of the murdered man is very concerned that the Sheriff's Department is covering up the facts surrounding the killing to protect the customs officer. A retired Chicago police captain was arrested this week and charged with driving while impaired and assault after attacking a 16-year-old girl. Joseph Kelly attempted to attack the girl early on Sunday morning, but the girl was able to flee and alert police. When police stopped Kelly, he had an open container of alcohol in his vehicle and appeared to be impaired. A grand jury in Cook County has accused Sheriff Michael Sheehan of covering up an investigation into the beatings of 49 inmates at the Cook County Jail in 1999. Sheehan said that he will not attend public hearings into the matter scheduled for this week. Sheehan has filed a lawsuit requesting that part of the grand jury report that accuses him of gross, if not criminal, misconduct in the cover-up be removed. The FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office are investigating civil rights violations by a number of officers in the Chicago suburb of Cicero, Illinois. Sergeant James DeSantis is one of several officers who are currently under investigation. DeSantis is also the subject of 2 lawsuits, which accuse him of a variety of misconduct, including use of excessive force, and, along with another unidentified officer, planting drugs on suspects. DeSantis is currently suspended. Last Friday, police in Chicago killed a 14-year-old who they say was a robbery suspect. The boy was accused by police of robbing a 13-year-old. The officers involved in that killing have not been named.
They would wait until their cupboards were virtually empty to go to the store. One man told me that he hadn't driven since he'd been stopped because he was so afraid of racial profiling.
Police say to the lady, give me dinero, because this lady no speak English.
I guess he told the Hispanic community that you go tell, we're going to call the immigration authority, get your shit back. Oftentimes they don't have driver's license and they get stopped and they're vulnerable.
A police officer in Canton, Mississippi, has been indicted on 10 additional counts of extortion for stealing money from Latino motorists during traffic stops. Officer Roger Thomas was charged in connection with incidents between March 2003 and January 2004. Thomas resigned after he was arrested and charged with one count of extortion last month. Since that time, over 100 complaints have been filed against Thomas. Prosecutors believe Thomas stole more than $50,000 from motorists over a three-year period. He faces 5 years in prison or a $5,000 fine on each of the 11 extortion charges he is now facing. His trial will begin on November 1st. A police officer in Union, South Carolina, was arrested this week and charged with distribution of crack cocaine and three counts of misconduct in office. Officer Rodney Kurt Johnson is accused of trading crack cocaine for sexual favors in one incident in January and using his status as a police officer to obtain sex on other occasions between 1998 and 2005. Johnson, who was already on leave over another unrelated incident, remains in custody at this time. Prosecutors decided this week to drop charges against a Riverdale, California police officer after a jury at his second trial became deadlocked. Officer Vincent Paul Thomas was accused of molesting a teenaged girl who lived with his family. He was charged with 33 counts of lewd conduct. Thomas may seek to be rehired by the police department now that the charges have been dropped.
We will not make a determination as to whether this shooting was in policy or not for a number of months to come. We have a very extensive and elaborate process that we have to go through.
I think the message is go on out there, do your thing. It's all right to beat up on young black brothers, and most recently in the case of this 13-year-old youngster, to even take the life of a youngster. I think it sends an ominous message. I think it sends a devastating message.
So if we stop the killing of us by us, we will now demand ain't nobody else gonna kill us again. Bottom line, something different has to happen out of this. We can't just have rallies, stand out on the corner and have marches.
I could change the policy right now, but the time to change to train 9,000 police officers on that new policy will take us months.
In a rather weak reaction to the shooting death of a 13-year-old boy by police in Los Angeles last week, the LAPD will now limit officers from firing on moving cars in some instances. Under the proposed policy, police will only be able to fire their weapons at a moving vehicle if the occupants have weapons that threaten the lives of officers. Critics and police sources alike say that the new policy will make little difference. On the street where the boy was killed last week, protesters gathered for a vigil. A march and rally held this week highlighted growing tensions between the LAPD and the people they ostensibly protect and serve, and in a city where rioting over police abuse is not unheard of, this tension is cause for concern. Activists describe the recent police killing as needless and tragic and point out that the police themselves are the largest obstacle to good relations with the communities they serve. Last week we told you that the LAPD had described the 13-year-old as a gang member. They have not repeated that claim, and the boy's family say that he was not a member of a gang. Police also say the boy was driving a stolen car, but there is no record of the car having been reported stolen.
But as soon as the charge is over, I'm fine.
To use that on a child, I don't think it's wise. And I don't think I would be happy if somebody used it on my child.
For small kids, I don't think tasers is a good idea.
This tool is going to save lives. It's going to save officers' lives. It's going to save suspects' lives. There is no lasting effect. The electricity that is put into your system is dissipated through heat immediately.
If we don't put strict controls and stop the usage, we could be involved in a situation where there's a fatality and then we are dealing with some sort of lawsuit.
A 45-year-old man in San Diego died in hospital last weekend after being shot with a taser by a San Diego police officer. The officer who used the stun gun on the man has not been identified. Police in Chicago are rethinking the use of stun guns by their officers after two incidents last week. A 14-year-old boy in Chicago had a heart attack after being shot by police with a stun gun. The boy's family has filed a lawsuit accusing the police of negligence and misconduct. Also in Chicago this week, a man died after being shot by police with a taser. Police in Chicago have been using 200 stun guns for about 1 year. A further 100 stun guns, which were supposed to be put into the hands of officers within the next few weeks, will now stay in storage, at least until investigations of the two incidents last week are completed. In Austin, Texas, activists demonstrated last Friday against the use of tasers outside of the Austin Police Department headquarters. Protesters pointed out the increasing frequency of police use of stun guns and described the instruments quite accurately as torture devices. The Austin Police Department has roughly 900 stun guns in use. The activists complained that the police are not properly trained in the use of the tasers and often seem to be using them on a whim rather than as a last line of defense. Police in Fort Wayne, Indiana, have decided against purchasing tasers for their officers even after receiving a Justice Department grant for that purpose. In Toronto, outgoing Police Chief Julian Fantino is again pushing for 500 of the weapons for his officers, despite the fact that the Police Services Board shelved the idea last November. A 45-year-old disabled man who was shot by an off-duty Orlando police officer at Universal Studios Orlando last Halloween is considering a lawsuit. A woman in East Rochester, New York, has become the second woman to complain about abuse at the hands of Officer William Connell. The woman, who has a learning disability, claims that Connell shot her with a taser 4 times after she was already subdued. Connell targeted the woman's genitals in the attack. In the United States and Canada, more than 100,000 police officers carry stun guns, which are primarily manufactured by Arizona-based Taser International. In North America, almost 100 people have died after being shot by Taser's products, laying waste to the company's claim that their weapons are safe and not responsible for any deaths. Both the United States Securities and Exchange Commission and the Arizona State Attorney General's office are investigating the company for making false claims about their products. Scientists who have examined the company's research describe it as spotty and inconclusive. Last week, the company's publicly traded stock prices dropped to $13.70, a drop of 57% since the beginning of this year. The company's sales have been declining since last fall, when human rights groups like Amnesty International joined the scientific voices which were warning of the dangers of stun guns. An ongoing RCMP investigation into widespread corruption in the Toronto Police Service has resulted in the second arrest of the head of the police union. Rick McIntosh was arrested again last Friday and charged with attempting to obstruct justice and conspiracy. Constable Nick Guasta de Sengi has also been charged with the same offenses. McIntosh was already facing serious criminal charges, including influence peddling and fraud on the government. The Downtown Police Division, where both of the officers charged worked, saw their entire plainclothes unit disbanded after they became the focus of the RCMP investigation. The investigation has led to the revelation of a litany of abuses by the Toronto Police, including links to organized crime, money laundering, a shakedown of bars in the entertainment district, and many other crimes. So far, more than a dozen Toronto police officers have been charged both criminally and under the Less Severe Police Services Act, and the investigation, which has continued for over 2 years, is not complete yet. McIntosh stepped down as head of the Toronto Police Association and retired from the force after he was first charged last May. The preliminary hearing for McIntosh and two other officers charged with corruption-related offenses Bill McCormick Jr. and George Carutis, will begin in June. McCormick is the son of a former Toronto police chief. His girlfriend, Constable Jody Watson, is also charged with weapons-related offenses. Coming up next, we have a report from WBAI's Fred Nguyen about the police killing of Rashid Fuquan Moore on January 24th of this year. Last week, there was a protest for justice in the case, and Fred was there. He prepared this report for WBAI's Sunday News.
Perhaps 75 were in attendance to support Elizabeth Moore's demand for justice for her slain son.
These two policemen, they don't know what they did to our family. They tore my heart out. They took my baby. They took my grandchildren's father. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't even be around my grandkids because I'm constantly crying. His two-year-old daughter asks for him every day. I don't think it's right. I walk to that site every day and spend 20 minutes where it happened. I'm about to go crazy. I want him to go to jail. I know I was taught not to hate, but I hate him. I hate these two.
Rashid Fuquan Moore and Richard Guy, both 26, were unarmed, but this did not help Rashid Moore from being killed in a hail of bullets by Officer Thomas Ruane. His partner Nicholas Popolizio shot Richard Guy in the leg as he was running out of the car. Both officers have been placed on desk duty pending an investigation. Richard Guy was arrested after his release from the hospital and charged with disarming a police officer, hindering apprehension, and resisting arrest. He is held at the Doremus Detention Center under a $60,000 bond. Margaret Guy says she fears for her son.
He said they wasn't taking care of him. They hadn't seen him in 3 days. And I'm just worried that somebody may just call me and tell me something happened to my son, you know? He said when the cops came to the car, one came on his side and the other one came on the driver's side. And the one on the driver's side said he just rushed in and started shooting. He said the cop on the other side fell on the ground to keep from being hit by the other cop's bullets. He said that's when he got out to run. And when they got out to run, they were shooting at him and they shot him in the leg. I'm so afraid for him. I'm just so afraid. I really am.
National statistics show an alarming trend for young black men to be killed by white police officers in situations which prompt many to describe the police as acting as judge, jury, and executioners. The same officer, Thomas Ruane, also killed Michael Newkirk 18 months ago during a neighborhood cookout, claiming that Newkirk was pointing a gun at him. The alleged weapon was never found. For Larry Ham, chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, the seemingly unending cases of black men being shot by police officers in poor inner city neighborhoods bear a singular pattern. The police shoots first to kill and charges that they were being attacked by the unarmed victims.
February 12th, mark this day down, write it in the book. This is the first demonstration for Rashid Fuquan Moore. But it will not be the last demonstration.
That's right.
No, we're going to light this fire and keep it alive until we get justice.
Yes, sir.
We have basic demands. Number one, we want justice for Rashid Fuquan Moore.
That's right.
Number two, we want the immediate dismissal of officers Thomas Ruane and Anthony Popolizio.
Yes, sir.
We don't want them on desk duty without guns. They need to be fired immediately. They need to be taken off the force with any other killer cops. Number two, we demand a special prosecutor. We don't want another whitewash like we had with the death of Michael Newkirk. Number three, we demand that the city of Newark establish immediately a civilian complaint police review board with full investigatory and prosecutorial powers. Number four, we call upon the U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, Chris Christie, to immediately launch a federal investigation into the death of Rashid Fuquan Moore. Power to the people.
Larry Ham called on all women and men who believe in justice to come to the Newark City Council meeting this coming Wednesday, February 16, at 7 p.m. to demand an end to police violence. This is Fred Nguyen in Newark, New Jersey.
That's all for this week. Tune into this station for more next week. Email your comments and story ideas to ihatepigs@hotmail.com. That's all one word. Thanks to everyone who sent articles and information for this week's program. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich. Every week we end Bad Cop No Donut with a song about the police. This week it's Police on My Back by The Clash.